Would you give a very warm welcome to Gareth from Clarens in South Africa, please? Gareth is leading the team there in Clarens. Many people here have actually been out there for either master builders or some of us for other reasons, and we've seen the incredible work that's being done out there in a number of different ways. So it's a tremendous privilege to have Gareth with us. So let's pray right now. Father, we want to thank you. I was going to say thank you, you got this turned up, but I wouldn't do that. Private joke. Father, we want to thank you that you have given us relationships right across the world. We want to thank you for that incredible privilege of being part of your worldwide community. And now we want to just impress upon you, Gareth, you come among family. You do not come among strangers, but you come among family. And Father, we just pray right now that Gareth will have a tremendous sense of freedom as he comes among friends and family. Lord, we look forward to hearing from you through your servant, all for your glory. Amen.
Oh, you want that one?
Yeah, I want that one. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. Great to look out and see many bright red faces this morning. I messaged a friend of mine last night and said, my neck got quite burnt from being out in the sun all day, and he very quickly replied and said, your South African citizenship has been revoked. Please do not come back. But I calmed myself down because I thought I can actually just, people will believe it more if I say I was standing too close to a lamppost than they will that the sun in England actually burnt me. But we had an amazing day out yesterday in Chestler Street, the fun day on the green, and it was just incredible. It would be great to chat to, if you were there, won't you just wave quickly, some of the students and some other guys, chat to them afterwards, ask them about it. There was just an amazing atmosphere of fun and community and family, and we flipped burgers. We just kept going. It was amazing. But there was plenty of food, and yeah, it was a great time. And God was there, and there's some great God stories. So it's been an amazing 2 weeks for me being in this corner of the country. I never knew this country was split into corners, but now I know there's this northeast thing going on. And it's been wonderful, and I've learned so much meeting with some of you and hearing stories and just connecting a bit with the church here and in Chestler Street. So thank you so much for having me. I wonder if you've got your Bibles, you can open them to 2 Samuel chapter 4. Oh, that's sparkly. This morning I'm going to tell you one of my favorite stories. It's about a guy called Mephibosheth. And when I get into Bible stories, I love to picture myself in them and really try and get into the story to try and understand what it was like. And this guy, Mephibosheth, his granddad was King Saul, okay, the one anointed by God to lead his people. And his dad was Jonathan. Now, we all know Jonathan and David had this beautiful friendship and relationship, so close as brothers. But what happened is David became a threat to King Saul, so he had chased him out. And so imagine Mephibosheth, he's just a young boy. His dad and his granddad are out in battle against the Philistines. And news comes back saying, your dad's been killed. And your granddad has been killed. And they're coming for us. Can you imagine being a young 5-year-old boy and getting that news? And what would happen is if someone was trying to take over a kingdom, they wouldn't only take down the king, they would destroy his whole line. Because as it goes down, the younger generations could have a stand and say, that throne is mine, I'm a son or a grandson of the king. So they would come in and wipe everyone out. So Mephibosheth was on that line. And so his life was in danger. And we're going to read from verse 4 of 2 Samuel chapter 4. Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And as she fled in her haste, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Okay, this is a very bad day for this guy. Okay, this little kid, okay, had such promise before that. Royalty, wealth, fame. And suddenly, he's on a hit list. And now, he's crippled. And he gets taken away. And he ends up in a slum area, kind of hiding away at this place called Lodabar. And he was now a crippled growing up in this place. And very soon after he got there, he would have heard more bad news. So a man named Ish-bosheth was his uncle, had taken over the kingship. And he sent one of his guys, Abner, to David. Because now, Mephibosheth, all he would know is David's joined the enemies. Because you see, David went to try and fight with the Philistines when he was escaping from Saul. And so he would have thought, David's this guy that's coming for us. And they send Abner to David to try and make a deal. And the news comes back, Abner's been murdered. And you're thinking, wow, what is going on? And then, in his sleep, Ish-bosheth, who was the king at this time, is stabbed and beheaded. And this news would have been filtering down to Mephibosheth. All he's hearing is everyone's getting killed. I'm next. He's coming for me. And it's kind of all just bad news. And then you hear, he would have heard that David's now become king. He's taken this seat. He's there. And he's having many great victories. Destroying the Philistines, taking more ground, that God had promised them. And life for Mephibosheth would have been horrible. He was a cripple. He wouldn't be able to work. He was probably a beggar. He wouldn't have been able to tell people who he really was, just in fear of them, the news getting back, because he thought, I'm going to die. But then one day, while he's there in the slums, the king's guard arrives at his house and says, King David wants you to come. I think, oh, that must have been another horrible moment. He must have thought, well, this is it now. You know, the king's found me. He's bringing me back. He's probably going to cut my head off and hang it up there for everyone to see because he wants to be king. Now, let me tell you that story again from the other perspective. Okay, so now we've got King David, who knows God's anointed him to be king. And he has opportunities to kill Saul, but he doesn't because this is God's anointed and he won't do it. And he ran to the Philistines, and actually at this stage they rejected him because they said, well, actually we don't trust you. What if you turn on us? You're too strong and these guys with you, we don't trust you to fight with us because we're scared that you're going to turn on us. And so David's hiding away. And while he's hiding away, a young man comes running to him and says, I've got news. Saul and Jonathan have been killed in battle. And David is distraught. Jonathan was his friend. He didn't want Saul dead. This was not his heart. And in fact, the servant that came said, how did you know? And he said, well, I was with Saul, King Saul. And he said, he gave me his sword and said, take my life. And I did. And David said, well, for that, you're going to lose your life as well. And David killed this guy. And when Abner was sent to David, they actually did make a deal. And it was when Abner was returning that one of the others who didn't like the deal or didn't agree with what was going on went and killed him. And again, David had that guy killed because he didn't want that to happen. And Ish-bosheth, who was the king at this time, it was some of his people that actually murdered him. And they brought his head back to David because they were like, David, you can be king now. David was going, no, this is not the way to do it. And he had those guys killed as well. A lot of dead people in this story. And yes, David then went on to great victories. And God was with him in his kingship. But you know, he remembered Jonathan, his friend. And he called his servants, and particularly one, they found one called Ziba. And they said, you know, I'm looking for someone I can show kindness to of the family of Jonathan. Is there anyone left? And this servant says, yeah, there's one. He's a cripple. He's hiding away in Lodabar. And David says, go and bring him to me. Go and find him. I want to speak to him. So we're going to turn over now to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I'm going to read from verse 6. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth! And he answered, behold, I am your servant. And David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to the house I have given, and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce, that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said to the son, according to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. This is just such a beautiful picture. I imagine being Mephibosheth and coming before the king and thinking, this is it, I'm going to die. And he says, Mephibosheth, it's so good to see you. Welcome. I want you to come and sit at my table and be like one of my sons. I mean, he could never have expected that. That is unheard of and uncalled for. It's crazy that King David would do this. And Mephibosheth says, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Now this, he saw himself as nothing. His life was a waste. It was wasting away. He thought, what can I ever live for? What can I ever do? I'm worse than nothing. Why would you show me kindness? I love the story so much because it just paints not only a picture of David, a man after God's heart showing love, but a beautiful picture of how God loves us and the amazing love that he has shown to us. I loved the testimony earlier about I'm not good enough. I've never felt good enough, but I've now realized that's okay because God loves me anyway. That is Mephibosheth's story. Because I'm nothing. I'm a dead dog. I'm useless. I'm who would want me? And yet David says, no, you're going to come and sit at my table and be with me. Amen, Gareth. Good point, Gareth. Imagine sitting at David's table. He would come in the evenings. His other sons would all come in and you're all sitting around the table. And he has Mephibosheth as one of the king's sons, hearing the stories of what happened. Oh, we were in battle, and we decided to go this way, and that, oh, it was amazing. And they're all drinking together. They're rejoicing together. They're celebrating victories. And then they're going, someone goes, I've got an idea. Let's try it. And Mephibosheth is in on the secrets of the kingdom. He's in on what is being spoken about in kind of that secret place. This cripple from the slums is there as one of the king's sons. Isn't that amazing? I like that. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. See what love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. You see, this is what the gospel does. Jesus finds us in our absolute weakness, in our brokenness as dead dogs, and he brings us up and he seats us at his table. We get to sit at the table with Jesus. We are invited in. Do you feel worthy? I don't. Okay, I get that. What am I doing here, God? Why me? Why would you do this for me? And yet, that is his heart towards us. He brings us in. Come on, come sit at my table. We're invited to be sons of God. We're invited to be part of the inner circle. Not just the special people. No, those who he has chosen. What kind of love is this that we should be called children of God? He's chosen us, all those who are his, to be his children and to come sit at his table. Just want to share with you a couple of stories. The first one is from where I'm in Clarence. We do a lot of work amongst the poor, and it's right in the community where we are. And we've got a project called People of Hope, which is a group of ladies who go into the community every day, and they just love people, and they look after the sick. We do HIV testing. We do counseling. It's grown over the years. It's amazing what's happening. And there's just been incredible stories through the years of how God's used them. But my favorite is one lady, Messina, who her family had left her. They were living with her, but they were tired of looking after her because she was dying. So they literally just left and left her there to die. And we heard, someone told us, look, there's someone in that house that's dying. So our lady started going in day after day. And it took months, about 6 months later, she was actually, they helped her restore back to kind of living condition of life. Then about 6 months after that, she responded to the gospel. She gave her life to Jesus. And she said, because I've never seen love like this. Why should they come to my house every day for months on end to come and wash me, to come and clean my house for me, to come and make food for me when my own family rejected me? Now she's joined on the People of Hope team, going out, loving on people, finding the most broken. And I just love that because I think that is what God has done to us. I want to tell you another very cool story. I wonder if we can put that first picture up. This beautiful lady is Me Francina. And she was part of our work with the elderly. We gather every week for a discipleship group, a group of older people from the community. We go and pick them up and we share the gospel. We're discipling them, and it's amazing seeing what God's doing. But about 5 years ago, on this day when this photo was taken, she was 88 years old. And during the discipleship group, she actually started to go. And everyone around thought she had fallen asleep. And they tried to wake her, and they couldn't wake her up. And our People of Hope team was there. So they very quickly had heart rate monitors on her. And at first there was something, and then they could find nothing. And then she wasn't breathing, and there was no heart rate. And we lost her. She was literally dying in front of the eyes. And now this is a community that's very familiar with death. And especially when you've got a group of older people together, they would have seen death a lot. And they all started kind of showing their respect to her. And the lady leading this meeting, Hanneke, who's a fiery old Dutch lady, she said, "We're just going to worship Jesus right now." And she just got them singing about the wonder and glory of Jesus while a couple gathered around her and prayed. 10 minutes later, she just sat up and looked around. Now, when she did that, there was absolute chaos in that place. Because you have to understand, this is a culture where people believe that the dead are still living as ancestors. So when they see a dead person get up, they are frightened. And the crazy thing was, I was there at the start of this meeting, and I went to drop some people off. God, why do you do this to me? But as I'm driving back to the church, I see old people running away from the church. I'm thinking, what is going on? I drive up to the church, and our ladies are just screaming and just rejoicing in God, and people are freaking out all over the place. And I was like, what is going on? And they tell me the story of what's just happened. And she sits, she has lunch with everyone, and I mean, it's just like a long worship session now. We're all just like, wow, this is incredible. And we take her back to her house, and we're still celebrating. And I said to someone, so is she a Christian? And they went, we don't actually think so. I was like, well, you've just dropped her off at home. You know, what are we doing? So we all went back to her house, and we started to share the gospel with her and just how Jesus loves her. She was like, yeah, I know that now. And she gave her life to Jesus at that moment. Last year, we had our 20-year celebration as a church. We've been there 20 years. Okay. She came up. I said, come on, I want you to just share what this church has done to you. And she got up, and she just started to lead us in worship. So 92 years old now. Okay, she starts, this old lady gets up, and the place just went crazy. You know, I love going and visiting her. We see her often, because she's just always worshiping, and she's just always joyful, and she's loving life. Her birthday is the same as mine, if you want to diarize, 1st of January, okay? So I decided this year, no, we're going to do a party for her, but I took my family and one or two others, and I've got three little boys, and we said, we're going to take her a big cake, we're going to do candles, not 93. It was her 93rd birthday in January. So we're not doing 93, we'll do one. And we just sang happy birthday with her, and we prayed with her. And she said, you know, this is the first time I've ever had a birthday cake in my life. I was like, oh, man. You know, but she is just, for me, I must tell you, actually, the Sunday after this was the easiest preach I've ever done in my whole life. I got up and started talking. While I was talking, first guy just walks up to the front. I was like, what are you doing? He said, I want to give my life to Jesus. Okay. Does anyone else? And they just started coming forward. You know, it just got around the whole community. This God is real. This God is alive, and he's powerful. But what got me and what I shared that Sunday was the greatest miracle was not her getting up. It was her heart being turned to Jesus and him making her one of his children to come and sit at his table. You see, the kindness of Jesus, that he would take an 88-year-old lady who's rejected him her whole life, still worshipped her ancestors, dies, and Jesus goes, no, I'm not done with her yet, raises her from the dead, then she begins to follow Jesus. I think, wow, this God of ours, he is amazing. Now, I wouldn't encourage you to risk it that long in your life, okay? But I was chatting to Topsy, one of our leaders this week, and I said, you know what, I just pray if I ever get to being that old that I love Jesus as much as she does. Because she's just joy. Whenever you're around her, she's just joy. Psalm 113. From verse 4, I'm going to read. It says, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Isn't this a beautiful picture of Mephibosheth? He raises the poor from the ash heap and seats them with princes, the princes of his children. And a transforming moment in my life was God speaking to me out of that and saying, Gareth, the poor are not put amongst princes to pretend like they are princes. This process is restoring them to their rightful place at the king's table. You see, Mephibosheth was a prince. He was. And yet he was in the slums. He was in the ash heap. And David picked him up. Come and sit at my table. See, that's God's heart. He said, when I see the poor, I'm not seeing someone poor. I'm seeing a prince in the kingdom of God that just needs someone to restore them to their rightful place. just need someone to tell them who they really are, because they don't know that they actually have a seat at the king's table that's waiting for them. The more we understand God's heart for us, just like Mephibosheth, that we were nothing and he's brought us in, the more we understand that, the more we can show his heart to others. We get to show people the love of Jesus. And we get to show that through all different ways. I mean, this last week it's been happening in the streets through God Loves. It's just been amazing to see. There's so many stories. I'll tell you one quickly. The one guy, I said, "Hi, how you doing?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm all right." And I said, "My name's Gareth." And he went, sorry, no. And I went, "Well, no, you don't have to be sorry. I'm okay with it now that my name's Gareth." He just didn't have time for me. He was gone. And I thought, wow, this was a culture shock for me, chatting to people on the streets. But just seeing some of the students and the guys really press through, praying for people, sharing God's love. It's amazing. And one of the ways God's called us to do it in Clarence is through a project called the Neeti Foundation. You can put that picture up, I think. There you go. And what we're doing is we're just taking high school kids after school, and because we realized that they're going to schools that are incredibly difficult places. They come home to incredibly difficult places, and they don't have much opportunity, really, to hope for a future or to even get good grades. All of them, it's doing school in English, and most of them are struggling with English. So we're just trying to help them with that. And so we've got a building where we sit with them. There's desks. They can come. There's computers. Some of you even donated computers for this project. And we've got people there, tutors, just basically parents that will just sit with them and help them work out their work and where they're struggling. We've got some teachers that can help them. It's just been an amazing project. And that guy on the left there, Gustavo, it's not his real name, but something you realize with the Basutu peoples, they've got many names. And I don't understand the whole thing, but they just got lots of names. So I never, when you actually see someone's ID document, you think, I've heard three other names, but I've never seen this one. But anyway, this guy, Gustavo, he's one of our students, and he has been since the beginning of this year, I think just from January, or maybe towards the end of last year. But I asked him to just share a little bit at our last prize giving. So we do a prize giving at the end of each term, not for how well they're doing with their marks, but just for how committed they are to being there, and we reward them just for being there, because that's what we feel is the right thing to do for these guys, because if they put in the work, God will bless them and help them. Let me share as well, it's not just an education thing. It's very gospel-based. We give opportunity to pray with guys. We share scripture with them, and many of them are now part of our church and part of our youth programs that we're running. But anyway, he'd made this speech now 2 months ago, and I stole it from him afterwards because he wrote it down. And I said, I want that because I want to read it to you guys. So, let me read here. He says, "I always thought there is no way I'm going to be exposed to opportunities of a bright future after matric, which is our last year of school. But with the help of Neeti Foundation, I got to realize that if you work hard and love what you're doing at school, you shall prosper. I just want to thank Neeti for the exposure that it gave me. I came here last year. I didn't even know how to start a laptop, but now I can show you flames with it." I don't know what he means by that, but it's a bit scary. I think they did like a project with fire or something. I don't know. Not forgetting our teachers, especially Nikki. Now, that's my wife, by the way. For this term with accounting, she really opened my eyes, and I went from number 15 in the class to second in the class. I'm truly thankful. And Tate Gavin, who's one of our elders who's running this project, thanks to him, my English keeps improving because of the efforts you put in to reach out when we are struggling. And last but not least, I want to thank Rachala Khan for always being there. Sorry, I'm going to cry. For when we need him. Neeti is not only education, but we also have Bible verses every week that remind us that with your brains and with God with you, that equals a prosperous future. Thank you dearly. As I read this, I just went, yes, it's working. Okay, young guy, yeah, thank you. A young guy being empowered, being lifted from the ash heap. I mean, if you saw where he lives, and what his home life looks like. You will not believe what God is busy doing with him. And I want to thank you, because as you're busy doing pledges and gift days, last year you gave a lot of money towards this project and have helped us to actually keep it running. And so you get to celebrate these victories as well. They're yours because of what God's done here and what he's doing with us. And as you prayed earlier about we're together in this and we're family together, it's wonderful to be part of this family. And then just one more picture. We're dreaming of a high school. And this is the land next to our church where we're praying that it's going to be given to us for free, and God's going to provide everything we need to build a great high school. Because what we've realized is part of empowering our young people is giving them a good education, but also setting the tone. And what we've realized with Niti Foundation is we only have these guys for about 2 hours a day. The rest of the day, they're getting told that they're worthless and nothing, and you know, culture and society is set up that way. So we want to set up a school where all day, every day, they're getting told they're awesome and God loves them and he has a plan for their lives. And so pray with us for that land. We've been promised it by the mayor, and she said, yeah, that's great. It's just stuck with town planners or something like that at the moment. So we're just praying and saying, God, in your timing, give us that land. Funny thing is my wife's quite nervous about this because she is the only qualified high school teacher in our church. And she's like, I'm not running a whole high school. God will provide everything we need. So Mephibosheth, sitting at the king's table as one of the sons. The story doesn't end there, although church almost does. Couple more minutes. What happened is Absalom, one of David's sons, actually comes up against him and wants to take, and he kind of works out a way to take the kingdom for himself. And David has to flee for a time from Jerusalem, and everyone with him, this would include Mephibosheth, have to go as well. Now, Ziba, who was his servant that really helped him, he saddled up the donkeys and then left without Mephibosheth. He left him behind. Thinking this is an opportunity for him to get in on some of this inheritance that Mephibosheth has. And so he says to King David when they're away, he says, Mephibosheth stayed behind because he felt now's his time. Remember, because he still thinks he wants to be king. So he was part of the plot to get you out. And David says, I can't believe it. So he says, okay, Ziba, you can have all the land and all the cattle and all the fields and everything that was given to Mephibosheth. But Absalom is soon killed, and 2 Samuel chapter 19, just a couple more minutes, I promise. David returns to Jerusalem. So once he's killed, he comes back, and he finds Mephibosheth. Verse 25, and when Mephibosheth came, and when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king, so Mephibosheth came in to meet with him, the king said to him, why did you not go with me? He answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said to me, I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go with the king, for your servant is lame. He has slandered your servant to the lord the king. There's a lot of servants there. It gets a bit confusing. But my lord the king is like the angel of the Lord. Do therefore what seems good to you. For all my father's house were men doomed to death before my lord the king. But you set your servant amongst those who eat at your table. What further right have I than to cry to the king? See, I love, again, he just puts himself in a low place. He doesn't now identify as, hey, I'm now one of the princes. I'm the guy. He says, no, look, we were all doomed to death anyway. I trust you, the king, to make the decision. And the king, King David, said to him, why speak any more of the affairs? I've decided you and Ziba shall divide the land. Which is actually quite unfair, because it was all Mephibosheth's. Ziba lied to get some, and David's going, okay, look, let's go half and half, and then this is done. Mephibosheth said to the king, oh, let him take it all, since the Lord, the king, has come home safely. I think, oh, I love that. I love that. Mephibosheth loved David. He loved it. He did not care about the land and everything David had given him. He just loved David. And this morning, I want to finish by giving you three challenges. And I can, because I'm leaving this afternoon. And Alan and the guys can deal with it once I'm gone. One, recognize that you're a dead dog who's received the love of Jesus. None of us had anything to deserve his love. None of us had anything to offer him. We were lame. We were nothing. And he has invited us to his table. We need to recognize that it's not us. It's all what he's done for us. Second challenge, love Jesus like Mephibosheth loved David. I want to do that. I go, oh God, I want to love you like that, where nothing else matters. I just want to be at his table. Just to be able to sit with Jesus and be part of what he's doing, that's all. Everything he gives to us. And he's blessed us all in different ways. He's given us so much. And he loves blessing us with that. But don't ever let that become more important than just sitting at his table. And that line, when Mephibosheth says, oh, let him take it all, since the Lord, the King, my Lord, the King, has come home safely. That's the heart we need to have towards Jesus. Recognizing, one, we were dead dogs, he loved us. Two, we can love him with that kind of love. And lastly, what I want to do is I want to pray over you this. I'm going to ask God to give you a Mephibosheth that you can love and lift from the ash heap. You see, we're not all going to go and start things that are going to change the world, but we can all change someone's life. And it can be through very little things, very little kind deeds, very just showing his love. And I want to ask God to give you someone that you can show his love to. Amen? Won't you just stand with me? Just however you open your heart to God, whether it's lifting your hands or just bowing your head or whatever, however you do it with it, just do it right now. Just open your heart to him. And can I ask you to just thank him for his love for you? Maybe for some of you, you've never even done that, and that's okay. But however you want, in your words, just thank him for his love for you. Now, Father, I want to ask, but with the love that you've shown us, you would help us to love others. Help us to know which Mephibosheth you've called us to love and to show your kindness to them. Lord, the kindness you've shown to us, help us to show it to others, Jesus. Thank you that it's not a burden we carry. Lord, it's not a heavy pressure of the poverty of the world or anything like that, God, but it's a joy to be at your table and to invite others to come with us. Lord, for people we know that are in depression, Lord, I pray, give us the heart and the spirit to speak to them and show them your love and your light and to see them lifted from that place. Lord, those in whatever situation that God's just putting on your heart right now, just Lord, wherever it is, Father, thank you that you love us with the love we can love with. Lead us in that, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Why don't you take a seat? You stay with us, Gareth. You stay with us. It is such a privilege to have Gareth as a friend and the connections we have between the churches. As you know, we are part of Regions Beyond, a family of churches across the world, so is Clarence. And this summer, we have two projects that we are running that are going to South Africa and are just strengthening those bonds, those links we have together. So I want to invite Stephen Jones out first, and also John and his team of 10 people, is it? John and his team, you come down here as well, just so we can see who you all are. Don't be shy. In fact, while you're coming down, Stephen, do you want to explain what you'll be doing this summer?
Yeah, about 2 years ago, God was stirring in my heart that I needed to be doing something different for him. Didn't know what that was at all. Ian came back from South Africa last year, and we had a vision day here in church. And Ian shared about two 17-year-old boys that he had met in one of the townships in South Africa. And what he'd said about those two boys was that they hadn't had any education, and they still did not believe that the world was a sphere. They still thought the world was flat. And I thought, that really shocked me to my core as an educator, a teacher who's responsible for teaching and learning. God really stirred my heart and laid on my heart that there was something that he wanted me to do and to use some of the skills and understanding that I have about teaching and learning. So we began to explore that a little bit and shared it with Ian. And he put me in touch with various guys in South Africa. And on the 24th of July, which is the Monday after school terms finish in the UK, so I'll be going to a place called Matubatuba in the eastern area of South Africa. It's about 2 hours' drive north from Durban. And in Matubatuba, there is a church, much like ours. And the church have two areas of work that I'm hoping to become involved in. And one is a children's home with 22 children who the church bring in, from children who've been abandoned by their families, children who have no mum, no dad, and they bring them into a sense of family within the children's home, which is called Destiny House. Isn't that a fantastic name? Destiny House, to give these children a destiny. And then there is also in Matuba a Christian academy that the church run. And from my understanding is that within the school, the teachers within the school tend to be teachers who are very young, very inexperienced, because the church who run the school can't offer the national wage to a lot of the staff within the school. So they tend to attract very, very young staff. And I'm hoping over the summer to work alongside the head teacher, Lawrence, in that school and with the church. It's very exciting. I had a message yesterday. I know when I leave, I know when I come back, I know where I'm staying now, and thanks to Gareth, he said something about it being in the forest, so that's as much as I know there. And I had a message yesterday from the head teacher saying, it's crazy, it's their end of term, they have, I think, a 3-4 week holiday period just before term starts again, and it just said that you're going to be very, very busy. So I'd value your prayers. It really is a step of faith. I think once before I preached here about when we step out with God, we shouldn't look at the mountain that is before us. We shouldn't look at that end point, but we need to remember that we take one step at a time. And that ours is a God who equips those who he calls. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips those he calls. And that's been something that's gone through my mind constantly at the moment. So I value prayers for the summer, those 3 weeks in South Africa, that God would use me and keep me busy. I really want to be busy. I'm not great when I'm sitting and I've got nothing to do, but I really want to be busy. And I thank God for the opportunity that he's provided to use some of the skills and ability I have as an educator in South Africa.
So Lawrence and Esther, the people he's going to stay with, I know them well, met them a number of times over in South Africa. Great couple, and they will keep you busy. So John, do you want to just tell us what your team is doing?
Hey everyone, these guys and a few other people are going over, and we're going to love people really well. That's our goal. We're going to do that in lots of different contexts. We're helping with a big kind of national youth conference. We are helping run a kids camp for a little while. We're working with the Unity Foundation. We're going to Lesotho and finding out what life's like there and learning a lot as we go.
That's good, isn't it? So we are together in this, okay? We are part of sending these guys and a few others this summer. We're part of sending Stephen across to churches that are in our family of churches
And we are there for their success, and they are there for our success as well. So I don't know if we could stand. I'm just going to lead us in prayer. I'll probably get Gareth to pray as well. We are a family together. It's not we just send them off somewhere, but we're working within a family context to see God's kingdom come into these places, gifts and skills being transferred, relationships built, mindsets being changed, I believe, as well, for kind of seeing the nations. We, as a church, have got a heart for the nations, and the more people that go and come back, it just strengthens us here as a community. So I just pray. Father, we thank you for each person that has committed to take part in this adventure in God. And we pray, Lord, that you have a wonderful plan for them. It's a plan that no ear has heard, no eye has seen, or no mind has conceived. And that you're taking them into that place where they take a step of faith, trusting in you, and we thank you that you're going to equip them as they take that step of faith. And there'll be great blessings as they come. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your amazing love, God, that it really does go everywhere we go, Lord. And I pray for all of these that are coming to Clarence and Matuba Tuba, and God, for all of us as we go, God, that your love goes with us. Lord, thank you that we can see your gospel advance in the nations, God, just through little steps of faith. And stir us for more, Lord. Keep taking us on, Lord. Thank you for the partnerships we have around the world, Lord. And grow them, strengthen them. Be with us, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.